Hey guys, welcome back to our podcast, It's Football, Not Soccer. I'm your host, Atharva Ranjan. And just about a week ago, the whole football world was shook when 12 of the biggest clubs decided to join together and form a European Super League. Their plan was to never be relegated from this league and have just 5 more annually qualifying members. This totally shook the world, and here we're going to talk about it. Today I'm with Sparsh Banerjee, who is a Barcelona and Manchester United fan, Atharva Bapat, a Manchester City and Barcelona fan, Kevin, a Real and Manchester City fan. And as you all know, I'm a Real and Manchester United fan. So we'll start off with the club with the biggest debt, Atharva Bapat, Barcelona, 1.2 billion euros in debt. What do you have to say about it?
Well, it's just down to mismanagement by Bartomeu and his board. He has put us in such a bad situation that we have to now join such leagues and put the club in trouble. Well, this league was actually just money oriented, as we all know. And the owners were after their money, and they never even asked the fans, the players, the managers, and didn't even take their opinion on it. The managers and the players just got to know about it after they announced the league, which is actually quite shocking, I would say. And I would say that even the fans were in huge shock. They protested outside the stadiums, the training grounds. And I think it was a huge, if it would have gone through, it would have been a huge disaster for European football.
I totally agree. Usually we all are actually divided as fans for different clubs, but when we heard about this Super League, we all came together united, and all around Europe there was a protest. All around Twitter there were multiple tweets by every person was infuriated by how they just went on with this, even though major clubs in Spain are actually owned by the socios, but they didn't even ask them once. Decision was made even with them. It was all just the owners trying to get richer and richer and ruining all kind of competition all around. Sparsh, what do you have to say about it?
Yeah, I mean, so I support United, and I saw the news this last Sunday, and I was like, what is this? Why is this happening? Why? So I saw on YouTube there were like millions of views on different videos of Sky Sports, and there's this guy called Mark Goldbridge who runs a United fan channel. So all of them, every person was frustrated and annoyed with this decision, because okay, we touched on the fact that they didn't consider the fans' opinions, not even the manager or the players. They didn't even ask them. They got to know it like at the same time as us, and obviously they will be in a bad situation because they can't even say anything against their owners because the owners pay them. And it was a very difficult situation for all of us, even the managers and players. And I have not seen so many Sky Sports videos ever like what I did this last week. I've spent about 20 hours seeing all the Sky Sports videos. On like every 2 hours there was this news that, oh, Ed Woodward resigned, oh, Glazers are the Joel Glazer, he is the ex-chairman, not the ex-chairman, the vice chairman of the ESL. And it was just disheartening.
Okay, so next up is a club with the second most amount of debt, Real Madrid. Kevin, what are your thoughts about Perez, who is actually the chairman of the European Super League?
I'm just really disgusted and embarrassed in this Florentino Perez. He's actually done a lot for the club, I'm not denying that, but he has dragged our name through the mud in this last 1 week.
I totally agree.
We are the most prestigious club in Europe, and he wanted to disband the competition in which we have won 13 titles. It's just, I don't understand what he's, I mean, he's this greed for money that was driving him. And the club is in debt, I can understand that. But the way he went about his business without informing anyone in the club, even the manager didn't know, no one knew anything about this. And he went and established this without any support of the fans. And the other owners and the chairman, the clubs like Barcelona and Manchester United, they're also in debt. So they could understand what he was proposing. And the Juventus chairman also had a pretty big part to play in this. They are also apparently in some huge debt. So these clubs are all just trying to get out of this debt they're in. And this Super League was the only way that they could find themselves competing more against themselves and get their money back. But in all sense, it was just ruining competition everywhere, right? The Premier League would have been nothing without these big six clubs. The La Liga would be nothing without these top three clubs. So yeah, it just didn't make sense. I was disgusted at Perez's decision.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, I myself was so pissed off because I love Perez as a person. He's probably one of the most successful presidents of Real Madrid, because he did most of the biggest Galacticos signings for us.
Yeah.
And he brought people like Cristiano Ronaldo, if I'm not wrong, and so many people. Gareth Bale, he did the biggest signing at that time. Those two of the biggest signings at that time. He has helped this club so much to this level. Maybe he was doing something right for the club, but he didn't even consider the fans once. And I was horrified. And when I heard about his interviews with multiple other media channels about how he was saying reducing the time because young football people are not interested, it pissed me off. I have not heard once by a single person that 90 minutes is too much for a football game. If 90 minutes is too much, there are tennis games that go on for hours. There is cricket. There is a test match in cricket that goes on for 5 days. And they're talking about mere 90 minutes being an issue. It just pissed me off.
Yeah, we all are 17, 18 year olds, and we were like, what is this guy smoking? I mean, we want more. We want like 2 hours, but exactly. And he's like 90 minutes. Bapat, I wanted to ask you, like, City, why did they join? Because they have so much money, oil money. And they could have just paid the debts of the other clubs, and they didn't need to do this. So why do you think?
I think it was more regarding peer pressure than anything else, I would say. Because all of the other five clubs from the Premier League, the other clubs from the Big Six, had joined the ESL. So it's almost like they had to, because if they wouldn't have, they wouldn't have any competition in the Premier League. And obviously, if you play the big teams, you get in the big revenue, which wouldn't have been the case. So I think that was the major reason. They're also the first one to back out of the ESL, so I won't blame them too much, but obviously there is some blame, definitely.
And seeing Pep speak so much about Pep Guardiola, the manager of Manchester City, speaking so loudly against the ESL, what did you make of that?
I think it was a fair point. Yeah, go on, Ken.
No, like Pep is brought up in this Barcelona Cruyff philosophy, right? He knows what it's like to be like he has a pure footballing mind. He knows what it's to compete. And he said something like, sport is not sport when the relationship between effort and success doesn't exist, which I thought was pretty spot on. One of the greatest things that any manager has ever said, in my opinion. And it just showed that even the greatest managers and the greatest footballing minds in the world are opposed against this, that how much of a crime they were committing by creating this league.
Yeah, I mean, Jose Mourinho was so against it that according to some reports, he actually went to Daniel Levy saying that, I'm not in support of this. I don't think you should go on with this. But he continued to go on with it. And another report said that he refused to bring the players onto the training ground once it was announced, and that's how he was sacked. Just 1 week before the I think Tottenham's first final ever since the 2019.
Yeah, I mean, it was the best chance Tottenham had of winning a trophy, because their trophy cabinet has been pretty dusty. And like Jose Mourinho in a final, like that's the best opportunity you can have to win a trophy or a medal. And Daniel Levy, I think, I don't know, it is allegedly because Mourinho didn't support the ESL plan, so he didn't want the players to train. So that's why he was sacked. And I mean, it was actually I was very disappointed by this, because whatever you say about Mourinho, I really respect him as a professional manager and his personality, even though he plays very defensive football, and even though he gets in fights with, like he was our manager for 2.5 years, and he got in fights with Pogba and all of that. But I really respect him as an individual, and to see this happening was sad.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, everywhere he goes, it's like trophies are always there, and this is the first club where he hasn't won any trophies. Even though he had a pretty big chance, and maybe if you gave him one more year, maybe he would have gotten more trophies for that one club that has only the Audi Cup to show off.
Yeah, which isn't a club because it's a friendly.
It's a pre-game, pre-season game. Yes. Exactly. Anyways, so when this all happened, I believe everybody was totally against watching the Super League. And we had a few discussions about what new teams are you supporting if you choose not to watch the Super League. So, Kevin, what were your teams?
I chose West Ham from the Premier League because they've really impressed me over this past 1 year. Especially with Lingard coming, and I think he's been the best player in the league. This part where he's been playing, since he's come to the league, I think he's been the best player in the league. I have disrespected him a lot before. During his time at United, now I am starting to really respect him and I like watching him play. It's fun to watch him play. Yeah, so I was planning to support West Ham, and in the Bundesliga I was planning to supporting Wolfsburg, because ever since they almost knocked Real Madrid out of the UCL in 2016, they really impressed me, and they're in the top four right now. They're doing pretty well, so yeah, I was pretty impressed with them as well.
Atharva Bapat, what about you? What were your plans?
Well, I went with Leeds from the Premier League. They have this amazing style of football. It's just all attack. That's what you want to see, 90 minutes of full free-flowing attack. And that's the only reason why I went with Leeds.
Sparsh?
I mean, I sort of agree with Bapat, but then I then came to the conclusion that I would just give up watching football, because Manchester United won't be Manchester United if they are in the European Super League, and Barcelona won't be Barcelona, because there is a safety net. They won't be relegated. Like, watching these teams play each other throughout the season, year by year, eventually it is bound to get boring. Okay, and one point we should touch upon is that if ESL went through, ESL would have been the most watched league, no doubt, because all the big clubs are in it, and it would be the most watched league, thus the revenue for the owners. And as it would be the most watched league, the revenues for the other clubs who are in the Premier League, the La Liga, Bundesliga, they won't get much viewership. Those clubs, they will be affected financially very drastically. And so the big teams, they would be buying all the players, all the best players from those teams which are not in the Super League. It would be chaos. Like Haaland from Dortmund, he would, as Dortmund already said, because of Bundesliga's 50+1 rule, Dortmund wouldn't be participating, neither Bayern. And Haaland can go to any club, Barcelona, Real Madrid, or Manchester United, City, and it would just be chaos. What about that? What do you guys say about that?
Kevin, do you have any points?
Yeah, I mean, it is true. Like when the biggest clubs, they are trying to become, they are the elite, most elite clubs in Europe, and now with the Super League, they are trying to get even more power. And the gap between the elite and the, not I won't say the poor, but the less elite, the ones which are not in the considered the best in Europe, it just becomes more. It just increases, and it's not any good for the smaller clubs. Like they have no scope for improvement. They have nothing to play for, basically. Like West Ham are doing, and some other teams are doing in Europe. Like, they're the underdog stories which are coming through. Like how Leicester won the league that one season. We are completely deprived of moments like that. So that's also the beauty of sport, right? So yeah, it was a grind. That's what I have to say.
I agree. Actually, ever since the 2019 was the year, right, when Liverpool won the UCL. So ever since, we've had major underdog type situations where we've had a team like Ajax who overachieved and nobody even expected it. Last year there was Atlanta, and this year FC Porto. There are teams that it was totally eliminating the chance of you to see these dark horses actually do play this brilliant type of football and take down even the biggest teams in the world.
Bapat, what would you say about that? All the best teams taking all the best players from the smaller clubs.
Yeah, it would definitely happen. The money is going to be there. And where the money is, the best players are. So yeah, definitely I agree that the players from these clubs that are left out from the ESL would be snatched by the ESL clubs.
Yeah, I think even Bayern team players would probably start leaving. Like even Lewandowski, who may be having just an average amount of contract at in Bayern, would probably want to go bump up to maybe to become one of the best paid players in the world. He definitely want to do that because he's currently the best striker in the world right now. And it wouldn't be that hard for him. Any club would be ready to take him, and they'd be ready to pay that money once, since they were about to get over 6 billion euros over a time period of 20 years. So it was definite for them to get richer and richer and richer. And they would buy, literally, they'd form a league of the best players, the best everything. But it'd be so boring because you'd see it all the time. You'd have every other week, maybe you'd have an El Clasico. Maybe once a month there'd be an El Clasico. And it totally ruins the happiness, the joy you get from watching it maybe once or twice a year. Because you wait for it. There is expectancies for it. There is effect on the tables in the La Liga for it. And it ruins all of that. It ruins any chance of you to have that kind of happiness for it.
I specifically think that Arsenal and Tottenham are too lucky to win it. As Gary Neville said, that he would rather watch the San Marino team, I think, than watch Arsenal and Tottenham. But like, what do you guys say about that?
Yeah, I mean, since Arsenal, the last time Arsenal was relevant was when Wenger was in charge, and even then the fans all wanted him out. But now Arsenal are 10th or 9th or something, and
yeah, doesn't matter.
You don't even know that place, right?
Nobody knows that place.
That's how pathetic they have been over the last year. And their owner is also like one of these Glazers and FSG type. He's draining the club of money and not doing much with it. He's just taking money out of the club, and there's been no improvement, basically. It's just been going down, the downhill, let's say, for Arsenal this 1 year. Not 1 year, it's been like past 5 years, it's all been going
down. They won the last Premier League title in 2004. It's been 17 years, and they still consider themselves relevant.
I think we should consider Leicester City a Big Six club, if I'm being honest.
Exactly.
I totally agree.
It's just It's just because their owners are not as rich and they don't have much power compared to the other six. That's why they're not considered.
Because it's like, if you are in school and then you are in a popular group, okay, so like these popular hotshots, okay, so they are like Barca, Real Madrid, United and all of those clubs, okay. City joined because they want to be, they are like this new team, okay, so they are like a novice and they want to be like, oh wow, I also want to be popular, okay. Arsenal and Tottenham, they have been like since forever, and Leicester is this dark horse, like, and no one wants them because like, oh no, you're not popular, so we won't take you. It's pathetic, actually.
Yeah, I mean, as a City fan, I sort of understand what they did, because ever since the new ownership has come in, our aim has been to compete with the best clubs in Europe, and by not joining this, we are left in a non-competitive league. And it also affects our viewership a lot. I'm not defending this, the reaction that they took. It should have not happened. But I can understand why they did it, and I was happy they were the first one to pull out of it also.
I'd like to actually talk about the other side of this. We talked about how it was an effect on all of us, and how it was making the rich richer and the other teams even poorer, if they you want to call it that. But you understand, like, everybody understands why they did it. They did it for the money. They needed the money, so they went for it. But and you can't actually say anything about it, right? You know that they have to do it, so they're doing it. And even though you don't support it, it's probably the right move to go for them. And I actually think, and finally, everybody chose the UEFA and FIFA over this Super League. Although they did not do anything, UEFA and FIFA haven't been doing anything right. Like, the FFP rules are basically a joke, with especially with the City thing going all bonkers. Like, they just let them go. Yeah, exactly. And you don't even know. And FIFA has been told about this ever since the Qatar 2022 World Cup has been, like, the work has been going on in Qatar. There's so much of discrimination, and people are actually, the workers are actually treated so harshly. Like, they're not even treated as human beings. And it actually hurts that FIFA totally ignored this. And when all of this was going on, when there are racism issues going on, when Slavia Prague actually defended their player for racially abusing other team players, you didn't say a word. You didn't make a single action, not even a petty fine. But when the other teams were ready to leave you so that you will lose your money, that's when you actually started making work. That's when you started doing threats to other teams. So it hurts. Maybe we chose the lesser of two evils. But I don't even know if we chose the lesser of two evils. Maybe the Super League would have been the key to everything. Maybe with founding members being the own club owners, maybe they would have been able to make a better change on the effects of racism and discrimination all over Europe. But I don't know now. Maybe it was, maybe it's not.
The new Champions League format isn't that much of a difference from the Super League either.
So, yeah, exactly.
And it's extra games as well in 1 year, which is like, it's not fair on the players either, right? Like, how much do they have to play in a week? Like, yeah, like Pep Guardiola said the other day, you might have to find 400 days in 1 year for that competition to happen.
Exactly. Playing. Continue. Sorry.
Achha, okay. Yeah, you say it, Kim. Yeah.
Go on.
Yeah, so I was just saying that we shouldn't deal this with absolutes. Like, FIFA is good, Super League is bad, or Super League is good, or UEFA and FIFA are bad. Because both have their positives and negatives. The positives and negatives of Super League are, negatives just exceed the positives of what the Super League stands for, because it's mainly because of the owners. And it was Perez's arrogance which just riled us up even more. The arrogance of saying that, don't worry, it's gonna happen. Calm down, lads, it's gonna happen. No one will, like, all the 12 teams are in a binded contract, and no one can leave. we know it's going to happen. We have, and it just fell apart in 3 days. That I think that was the arrogance which kind of riled us up. But Patrick Bamford, shout out to him. He said that, yeah, like when it really hurt FIFA's pockets, they showed their actual power, what they can actually do. And racism has been going on since forever. And not to act on it, it doesn't make them the good guys either. So, okay, so now the Super League has gone. What do we do now? Now, some of the owners, so as a Manchester United fan, I don't want the Blazers to be running my football club. I want them to go. Some of you, you may also be thinking of having a change in leadership. What do you guys think about that? And after all of this, then we have to blame FIFA. We have to somehow, together we have shown that we are united. If football fans, like if there's no discrimination between teams, we can end all kinds of different discrimination, such as racial discrimination. We can do that together, only if we stand together. What do you think about the owner situation?
Yeah, I think the owner situation is an interesting one. I do think they should resign. I don't think that's going to be a reality because the immense power they hold. And obviously, I don't think in the current pandemic situation, there are enough people out there who are looking to buy clubs. So I think that is a bit unrealistic. But definitely from fan point of view, I think they should resign because they have taken a decision which would have hurt the future of football.
And as a City fan, I don't want the owners to resign, but they should not go unpunished for this. Make UEFA, they said they are going to let them go unpunished, but they should have imposed some sort of a fine or something on the owners. This is not something to be taken lightly, that's what I'm saying. And as a Real Madrid fan, I want Perez gone.
I actually think that Perez should resign, although he won't, because we all know that it's just... he's not going to do it. He just... I don't know. Because Real are still in the Super League. Real, Barcelona, Juve are still in the Super League because they really need the money. And since everybody else is going to pay a fine of, I think, 300 million, that just takes every team out, like, almost 506 million euros out of debt. Cuts everybody's debt in half. Real's debt in one-third.
Yeah, so, but that's not fact. It's been, like, allegedly it's been said that 300 million that will go to Perez, but it's not fact, I think.
I don't think Perez is going to get all the money. I think what I had read in a Telegraph article that said that the three teams that remain, Barca, Juve, Real, will get distribute the money equally of whatever that is received from that, because they are the three founding chairs.
Did Romano say it? Fabrizio Romano, did he say it?
I don't know, man. It wasn't from The Athletic. I never said it was from The Athletic. It was from Telegraph. So, but
yeah, it's Telegraph.
Agree. See, that's the problem with you. That's the problem when you don't have a governing body to look after the tournament. It's like run by the owners, right? When you have a governing body like UEFA and FIFA, these sort of issues are not there.
But in other sports there are places where there is no governing body. It's just ruled by clubs.
IPL.
And it does, yeah. IPL is kind of like that. It is run by the BCCI and all, but it is basically run by the clubs. The clubs hold all kind of ruling. Anyway, maybe it would have worked out. Maybe it wouldn't have. But whatever it would have done, it would have definitely ruined football as we like it. As we like watching the UCL, that maybe once in a year, once in 3 years, you get to see Real versus Juve or Real versus Bayern or some team like that. You'd get to see that every other day, which would have totally ruined the game. Anyways, I guess we can conclude this now. Thank you guys for joining in, and thank you to all the listeners for tuning in to us. do follow our podcast if you're new, and we'll see you in the next one.